Instituting the 10 most wanted amen, and our prayer request, your 10 most wanted. And in your 10 most wanted, these must be 10 things that you're praying for, or 10 people or circumstance or situation that you're praying for that may not deal directly with you. Amen. It may be dealing with you indirectly because of their distant family or friends or associates, but we are just your community. But we want to pray not just for ourselves in our 10 most wanted. And these things that we're going to pray for, and hopefully by the end of November here, as we're coming up to Thanksgiving season, hopefully by then we're in a position where we're able to pray, give praise report to our prayer request. Now, today is what many in America call Halloween. As born-again Christians, we don't celebrate the dead. We don't celebrate witchcraft. So we don't celebrate those things. Those things are very real in our world. Probably one of the greatest tricks or delusion today is to make you think that the devil is some mystical creature, but he's a very real being, and he have a demonic following that are very real. And a lot of times we don't know that certain actions of ours that we may do, we may be inviting his presence into our lives unaware. Years ago, there was a movie came out called Lost Boys, and it's about a vampire. These was vampires, and the father vampire, he was showing himself as a normal person, a concerned person, all of these things. And while these three boys was doing their worst to bring destruction and killing and chaos to that town, one of the women, he had an appeal to her as a kind person. And them boys was trying to get in her house, but she would not let them in. And their rule was they couldn't come in without being invited in. And finally, he comes knocking on the door. And because it was a familiar face, he stood there at the door and he waited for her to invite him in. And when she did, as he walked through the door, his facial expression changed, and it came kind of demonic in aura, you know. He had that very, that look that made her say, okay, what did I do? And then he began to tell the whole thing. And what we don't realize is that's all the devil needs is an open invitation to come into our home. And to create chaos in our homes. And it seems like a story because we got so many ghost stories today. And we, especially in America, we've come numb to magic and witchcraft and things of that nature. And so we don't really think about the real life significance of those things. But as born-again believers, it is not our practice to do everything that non-believers do. And because of the way Halloween originally started, because of the real purpose behind Halloween, we don't celebrate it. But as churches, because we know that we're in a society that appeals to our children, our young generation, to such a way to give them a place of seclusion so that they don't be so drawn to the world. We created an alternative for them, and we call it, this is our harvest Eve. So it's not Halloween, it's our harvest time. And so, and we build on harvest, which is reaping something good that was planted. And we allow them, even those that want to dress up, we tell them, dress up as superheroes. Dress up as someone that's doing something positive in life. And we ask the parents not to allow them to dress up as goblins or witches or warlocks, because those are very real things. And we give them an experience to let them play games and just have an outing that's safe from predators, where they can still have candy, still have a good time, still fellowship with other friends, and just have a good, safe evening. Because we know in our world you have some people that's sadistic, that's evil to their core, and they're doing things to cause harm to our people, to our children. I never would have thought, until they announced it on TV, somebody was putting razor blades in apples. Somebody was putting drugs in. And so we had to tell our kids, don't take open fruit. Only closed candy. But then they was unwrapping the candy and wrapping it back up. So we had to tell them to take only receive sealed candy. And so many things we had to start doing in trying to keep our children safe, which took a community event for the kids and made it something totally different. And so the church, we, youth department, children department, children ministry, come together and give the kids an evening out. Many churches do things like this even for prom season, and so on, so that our kids can to a more healthy and vibrant and promising and positive outing instead of the things that can happen in the secular world today. And so we're praying. So our prayers tonight is that although this program is taking a little late at this point, we're hoping no one is out trick-or-treating at this time of the hour, and if it is, it's definitely a trick. It ain't no treat. And so we want to be prayerful, okay? And so we're praying for that. We're praying for safety, even for those that want to practice it. And they say, well, I don't see no harm in it. Okay, well, that's fine. You don't see because you don't understand. And just because you don't see something don't mean it's not there. Air is all around us. Many of us, where we are right now, whether we're in a room or outside or in a car, there's oxygen all around us. And we don't see it. But the effects of it, we are experiencing. But just because you don't see something don't mean it's not affecting your world, okay? So let's not be naive in that. The Bible says, my people are destroyed from the lack of knowledge. So what we don't know can cause harm to us and can keep us from advancing in life as we should. Knowledge is power. Amen. And when we're praying the right prayers, God can guide that power in us and through us to be a more positive change in our world today. So let's be mindful of that. I want to pray for, again, the Six Eyes Studio family. I want to pray for all of our team members, our station manager, our founder, each person that have a program here on this network. I want to pray for their encouragement, that they be not weary and well-doing. Programs like this, it costs to be on the radio. Some have it, some don't. And so many times we are depending on faithful listeners like you that have charity in their heart and render support to our station and other programs like this. We have a program here that make Bible material available for those that are sight impaired and those that don't have no sight at all. And to provide things for them, it costs. Also costs for them to keep their website and different programs like things that they do up and running. And so we count on your generosity. So want to encourage you that while you're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network, anytime you hear the call for donation, for giving, and God has put it on your heart to so do, be encouraged to do it. The Bible said we reap what we sow. Oh, it says that. Whatsoever, it said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. When you sow in good ground, you reap a good harvest. And God sees your giving. And so we want to say thank you in advance. Normally, I make that appeal at the end. I'm not necessarily making it now. I'm just in my explanation. If we're going into prayer, all of these things matter. Ministry matters. It's a lot of programs, a lot of things going on in our world today. And let's be honest, there's nothing that's free. You know, I know tax season come around, they say free. There's nothing totally free. The only thing that I can honestly say is free, but it did cost you something. It cost someone something. And that's salvation through Jesus Christ. And it's free for us, but it cost him his life. And the only thing that's required of us is to surrender our sinful life and open up our heart to receive him in it. And so we say it's free, but it really costs. John told the Pharisees, he said, bring ye fruits worthy of repentance. Don't just go through the motion of saying I repent, and then you have nothing that you are repentive of. That word repentive don't mean sorry. It means change of heart. It means things that you once thought one way about. And since you're repenting, that means you're rethinking, you're reconsidering the understanding that you have concerning it, as well as your behavior. And so that's true repentance. It's a turnabout. And you can't say you repented and you're still going in the same direction. You slow down, but you're still in the same direction. That's not really turning. Turning usually involves 90 degree to a good 180 degree. I mean, you either turn left or you turn all the way around. And so we want you to consider how you was living your life before Christ. And now that you say that you're in Christ or you're receiving Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, think about the things that you once done pre him, before him, and ask him how you should be living your life now with him. And I'm quite sure he, through the Holy Spirit, will reveal to you some very significant things that you may need to do or need to stop doing in order to truly be pleasing unto him. And so, once again, we're in prayer. Ever Church, this year we've been fasting every first, second, and third day of the month. And so this being going into the first, tomorrow being the first, we start our fast corporately around about 8 p.m. and we carry that prayer, that fast, through noonday the next day. We realize that many people are on medication. Some medication you must eat with, and so we always encourage people, if you're on medication, we're not telling you to stop your medication. We're not telling you to postpone your medication unless you are certainly sure that God is leading you to do that. We want you to follow your doctor's instruction with taking the necessary medicine to get you better. But eating something don't mean you have to get full. So you can eat enough to take your medicine so it doesn't upset your stomach and make you sick, but you don't have to get full. That's most of our bad habit anyway. For the most part, when we eat with the intent of being full. And that's probably 90% of the reason why many of us are overweight. Amen. We have that food addiction. And so having a corporate fast are times where you come together corporately to pray for certain things. When you're fasting and you're substituting a meal for times of meditation and prayer. So during the time of fasting, you're substituting your meal time and your prep time for meals. You're substituting that time for times of personal reflection, personal observation of your life, and seeking God what to do, how to do. Matter of fact, as I go into this prayer, I was going to read this a little bit later, but I think it's more fitting to read it now. And that is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 says, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, I'm reading for you in the New Living Translation. In the New Living Translation, Philippians, it is written, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thought on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about," excuse me, glasses came down on me. "Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." Verse 9, "Keep putting into practice all you learn and receive from me. Everything that you heard of me and saw me do. Then the God of peace will be with you." Again, it says, And now, dear brothers and sisters, the King James says, finally, brethren. And so we want to finally, brother, whatsoever things that are. And so it says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one thing, one final thing, excuse me, fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. That means your thoughts, as random as they are, and some of our thoughts are very random, we still have the right to control them. Amen, somebody. And so, fix your thoughts on, and fix here, you can use fix as like a tuning of a radio signal. If you got a digital radio, sometimes you have to keep turning it until it clicks on just the right channel to get the signal in clearly. Even in an analog radio, it was that way. You keep turning, so you fix in. I mean, in other words, you're looking for something particular. So fix your thoughts on what is true. Not somebody's personal truth, but what is truth. And honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So that's something that we have to take control of our mind. The only reason why we can be depressed and oppressed is because we don't exercise fixing our thoughts on the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. We don't fix our thoughts on the things that are pure and lovely and right. So fix your thoughts. Fix them. Fix them. You don't fix something that's broke, but you do fix something that's not in the right position, not in the right place. You know, if you walk in your front room and the kid's been in there and they done moved your figurines around, you're going to say, hey, that's not how I had it. That's not where it should be. Why? Because you had a picture of how you wanted them lined up. So fix your thoughts on how God wants you to line up. Sometimes we're so focused on trying to line other people up till we don't see that we're out of line. And I know I'm supposed to be praying now, and it may seem like I'm preaching, but I'm really appealing to your understanding, so that as we pray together, we can pray in unity. Amen. So that's the text. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. And then what I love about verse 9, it says, and this is the New Living, it says, keep putting into practice. Practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. So if you don't practice doing right, then whatever you're doing will become permanent, because that's what you're actually practicing. But when you practice doing what's right, that is what builds you to be better, because it becomes permanently part of who you are. Some of us, we have practiced bad habits for so long, so our response when people correct us about our behavior, but that's just how I am, you're just going to have to deal with it. Well, no, they don't have to. It's amazing how we'll tell people they have to deal with us, but then we don't want to deal with them. So if how you is just how you is and they have to deal with it, then why don't you do the same? Why don't you just deal with that just how they are? But they need to change. Why they need to change and not you? That's a double standard. And we should not have that. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening in humble prayer. We recognize you for who you are, our Creator, our Lord, our King, our everything. You're the air that we breathe. You're the reason why there's blood running warm in our veins. Father, we thank you right now for your great patience towards us. We thank you for your love and your concern about us. God, we thank you that your thoughts towards us are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give us an expected end. So on this evening, Lord God, we ask, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would guide us so that we may accomplish that expected end, so that we may walk into that purpose of living that you have purpose in your heart concerning our lives. Help us to be our brother's keeper. Help us to be mindful of our surroundings. Help us to have a world view as well as a local view, so that we know that what we need to be seeing and what we need to be doing about what we're seeing. Help us today, Lord God. I read it in my word, in your word, that whatsoever your hand finds to do, do. Many things, God, you have allowed us to see. So help us to stop looking for others to do what you have revealed for us that we can do. Help us today. God, as you help us, we will testify of others of your goodness and your mercy and your kindness and your grace and your favor. Now, Father, we ask for divine intervention. Somebody this evening, Lord God, need you to intervene in their health. Somebody need their blood pressure regulated. Someone need their sugar levels in their bloodstream to be balanced the way it need to. Somebody need their kidneys to function and to filter out the toxins that it needs. Somebody need their liver and their pancreas to function properly. On this evening, somebody's dealing with heartburn and upset stomachs and other things that causes those other issues around our digestive system. God, somebody has too much acid within their bloodstream causing them gout and pain. And Lord God, somebody's dealing with arthritis and muscle disorders on today. Somebody's dealing with issues in their breathing. There's coal in their lungs. There's fluid building up. And God, somebody needs you to intervene on their behalf and help them to cough out the excess coal and fluid that's being trapped in their lungs right now. Somebody needs you, Lord God, to release the pressure that's building up in their sinus cavities. Lord God, somebody's dealing with migraine headaches because of sinus, because of the tension in their life, because of the press and the pressure of life. Someone's dealing with just unusable and unusual and almost unbearable pain in their migraine, you know, whether it be because of an infection in their mouth from tooth or just a chemical imbalance in their body. God, somebody needs you to intervene tonight to touch their knees and cause the swelling to go down. Somebody's ankles, they can't walk right because their ankles are too swollen to just get up to walk to the restroom to do something normal and go back and sit down. Lord, somebody needs you to just touch right now. Praying, Lord God, that your word said that you was wounded for our transgressions. You was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon you. And by your stripes, Lord Jesus, we the believers are healed. We're made whole. And so we receive divine healing right now. We receive healing from COVID. We receive healing from asthma. We receive healing from pneumonia. We receive healing from the flu. We receive healing from the whooping cough. We receive healing from the common cold. Even now, Father, God, we pray right now, Lord, that you, Father, put your hand and touch us. Send your anointing. As you told us, as the centurion said to you, God, speak the word only, and we'll be healed. So, Father, on this evening, we ask that you go down to the nursery home where we are not able to visit. And when we're not able to do visitation, that you will, Lord God, visit them in the midnight hours through the times of their loneliness to let them know that they are not alone, to touch their bodies, to strengthen them, to give them hope, Lord God. When it seems like they're not going to get better, God, let them know that with you all things are better. Encourage their heart tonight, Lord God. And God, as you do these things, there's so much more we can pray for. We're praying for our nations as a whole. We're praying peace, that our leaders, our secular leaders, have the mind of peace. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And God, we ask that you will, Lord God, govern the hearts of our leaders, not to do it for, not to create political assassinations, or not to cause havoc between other nations, but to bring true unity, especially with neighboring states or countries or continents. Lord God, that we would just be people of peace. We pray for it now. Even in the midst of war, even as there is war going on, we pray for safety. We pray for the men and women that are in the armed forces, Lord God, that you would give them alertness, Lord God, so that they may defend those that they are set to defend. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, we know that some causes are righteous and some are self-righteous. But for all those righteous causes, God, we ask for you to intervene. Where you have directed, we ask for your intervention. And as you do it, God, we are mindful just to say thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you have already done. And thank you for what we shall see in the future of the things you already set in order and in motion. We love you, Heavenly Father, and we thank you. All of these precious blessings we pray and we receive. It is in your darling Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen and amen. Once again, I want to say, welcome to the Six Eyes Radio Network. Amen. This is Motivational Monday with yours truly. God bless you and God keep you.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you. Really?
Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting, it can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
There's something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. That's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait? Thank you.
Churches, C.C. Winans, never lost. Amen. Isn't it good news to know that with God, God himself never lost a battle? Amen. And we can do all things with Christ that strengthens, through Christ that strengthens us. Amen. Well, good evening. I have some of the mics open. Good evening to all of you on this evening. How are you doing on today?
Good evening, sir. God bless. Enjoy Motivational Monday. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. It is a blessing to hear your voice on this evening. Always good to hear none other than the founder of this wonderful, outstanding station. I just heard we received an abiding award. Amen. And so, man, it's awesome. We coming on up.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Very, very happy. Very happy. We just keep going up from here.
Amen. Amen. Well, good evening, anyone else. I see a couple of hands there raised. I just unlock your mic there.
Hey, brother. Hey, Pastor Bonnet. Hey, Brother Six.
All right. God bless you, Sister Lila. How you doing?
Hello, Lila.
Hey, Brother Six. Hey, Pastor Bonnet. How you guys doing tonight?
Doing great. How
good
you
doing?
Oh, blessed to see another day. I got to spend out away with my girlfriend last night, Saturday night.
All right now.
This was last night.
All right now.
All right.
Which was a blessing because I got out of the facility for a night.
There you go.
There you go. Count one
but
by
the
one.
The only thing about that is, for sex, is that I got to do 3 sets of COVID testing, rapid COVID testing.
Uh-oh.
Hold on.
Okay.
All right. Well, she muted her mic. Anyone else like to say hello? Amen. Press the 1 on your phone, and we'll open up your mic. God bless you.
How you doing, everybody?
Hey, how you doing? God bless you.
Boy, sounds familiar.
Doing
you
okay tonight.
That is our personal. That's our personal residential funny man and minister. Missionary Ken Wolfgang.
Thought I recognized that voice. How you doing?
Doing okay there, boys.
Whoa. Whoa. Then we'll be right back.
Boys, girls, ladies, and germs.
We speaking to everybody but the worm.
Amen.
Hey, that's our station manager.
How's everyone doing?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you.
I'm going to mute my line for a moment. Okay. Praise the name of the Lord. I think we're back, right? Amen. Well, good evening, everyone. God bless you. Don't forget to get your Bibles ready. We're going to a very notable scripture tonight. Matter of fact, I'll just tell you where it's at. We're going to the 23rd division of Psalm. That's right. We're going to Psalm 23. Some of you may have heard it talk this way, but we're going to bring it back on the scene, and we're going to break down those 6 verses in the 23rd division of Psalm. Amen. But before we get there, I have a young lady that I would like to introduce to you on this evening. I think you're going to enjoy her. I say young, but she going to tell you she's over 50, and she going to she'll tell you all her stuff herself. But just want to give everyone an opportunity just to say hi. If you mute yourself, because I'm going to a different channel here, to bring up none other than Karen Megan. Maybe you heard her, and maybe you're not. I think you may enjoy her on this evening, Karen Megan. Everyone had a chance to say hi. We'll be back. We're going to give Karen Megan a little opportunity to just fill us with some joy. Let's enjoy.
Her three-hour grueling shift at Target. She was just getting through her three-hour grueling shift at Target. So I graduated from college in 1986 from the University of Georgia. If you did a quick math, it makes me 55 years old. And I love being over 50. There's something magical about, and particularly as a woman, about being over 50. But I just don't care what people think anymore, and it's very freeing. And it happened in Target in South Portland, Maine, right after my 50th birthday. It was February. It was snowing. And in Maine, probably like here, it snows, and they give you these towels at Target to wipe out the snow out of the shopping carts that come in from the parking lot. This particular day, I got there, and there were all the shopping carts were wet, but there were no towels. But there was this little millennial girl at the door, and she was the Target greeter that day. Her name was Amanda, and she was just getting through her three-hour grueling shift at Target. I said, Amanda, where are those towels? These shopping carts are wet. She said, oh, they're still wet from last night. I said, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. She goes, I know, it's almost time for my break. Well, how am I supposed to shop? These are wet. She said, well, you can just take it in the bathroom and wipe it out with a paper towel. Duh. And I thought, you know, my 30-year-old self would have gone in the bathroom and wiped it out with a paper towel. My 40-year-old self would have called Amanda's manager over, and we would have had a discussion about customer service and how bad Amanda sucked at it.
Here's why I threw away all my blood pressure meds.
Y'all enjoying it? All right.
My 50-year-old self just took my shopping cart directly to the first clothing section that I came to. And I just lined it with a little boy's t-shirt and stuck the bottle of water in there. Line. I paid for the things that I wanted. I got down on the shirt. I said, you know what? I decided I don't want these. They're wet. Maybe Amanda can wipe them out on her little break.
That's how I feel, Nick.
I've noticed that my magazine subscriptions have changed. I start to keep them after this anymore because I don't know any of the people and people. You are these people? I don't care. I stopped getting Cosmo a long time ago because they had those little quizzes in there. Ooh, what's your lovemaking style? I don't know. I'm 55. I got 3 kids. I got 2 jobs. Here's my lovemaking style.
Looking at a watch.
So much to do. You're not on it. The vaccine's called Real Simple, and everything in it is just real hard. Create your own cactus garden. No! Make your bathroom a sanctuary. Have you seen my bathroom? No! Now, my favorite magazine right now is called Garden and Gun. It is a real magazine for middle-aged Southern women who like to pull weeds and contemplate who we want to shoot right in the head. And it's true. Middle-aged women want to shoot at least 5 people in the head every day. But we don't do it because that's wrong, that's murder. So what do? If somebody makes us mad, we call up our friends, and we go fellowship, and we have our walking group. You will see a middle-aged woman walking together, and we are walking and talking, and we are getting all that out of every day. And my husband is like, why don't you just go for a run by yourself? I'm like, I can't. We are saving lives. Frustration, it just comes out as murder. We prevented 3 murders this morning in our walking group. One of them was yours. Utah. I'm so happy to be here. I live in Maine, but I grew up in Georgia. Go dogs. My husband's from Boston, so our kids are bilingual. We're very proud. So proud of that. My husband and I just celebrated our 24th wedding anniversary. After 24 years, you'd think there wouldn't be any surprises. He called me up and he said, hey, I got something I need to tell you. I've been thinking about this. You might want to sit down. I've decided to become a vegan. And I'm a supportive wife. So I said, honey, that sounds terrible. Are you sure? And he said, yes, and he's doing it. He gets up every morning at 6 a.m. He puts fruits and vegetables in a very loud blender. And then he tries to make me drink it. I made this one with kale and wheatgrass and almond milk. Try it. I'm like, no. Don't you want to be healthy? No. No. I want bacon. And egg and sausage and cheese and hamburgers and hot dogs and happiness. I want to eat all the parts of all the farm animals. He said, but I made this with almond milk. It's really good. It tastes like a milkshake. No, it does not. It tastes like grass clippings. It does not taste like a milkshake. No. And just because you put the word milk after the word almond doesn't make it milk. And the dairy farmers are very upset about this. The dairy farmers want us to call almond milk what it really is, nut juice. It was on the news. Oh, I like a really tall, cold glass of nut juice. I'd like to dip my Oreo cookies in nut juice. Ew. So my husband and I share a closet. I don't recommend this for any new couples out there. Don't do it. It was a bad idea, but we're stuck with it. I've been trying to clean out this closet for the past 8 months using the Marie Kondo decluttering method. I see some of you know it. If you don't know it, congratulations. You're supposed to put all your clothes on the bed, and then you're supposed to go through each piece one at a time. And then if you ask the magic question, does this spark joy? If the answer is yes, you keep it. If the answer is no, then you take it to Goodwill. Now, sadly, the Marie Kondo decluttering method only works on things, not people. Or else there'd be a lot of teenagers dropped off at the Goodwill. So I got through my clothes, and I told him I'd help him with his. So we got through one shirt of his. I held it up, and he said, you want me to ask that shirt what? Does that shirt spark joy? What does that even mean? Does it mean do I like it? I don't know. You bought it. Do you think this shirt sparks joy for me? I didn't even know this shirt was in this closet. Woo! My shirt. Are you having an affair? The only person having an affair in our house is our dog. We think having an affair with me because my husband won't let the dog sleep in the bed with us. And when my husband goes out of town, I let the dog sleep with me. He's hairy. He snores. It's just like having my husband there.
Broken the rules, so he will not make eye contact with my husband.
Up with your wife. I am so sorry.
All right, all right. That's enough for this evening. That was our wonderful guest on this evening. She is.
She's good. We got to get her back. She's good.
Amen. So she did. She's doing an excellent job. This was definitely a keeper. I wanted to find. I was searching for a female clean artist and on the Christian scene, and she was one that came up, so I enjoyed her. Karen Megan. Amen. Karen Megan. I think y'all enjoyed her, too. She's very good. I enjoyed her whole skit, so I got more to come. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You'd be surprised how many good, clean comedy out there that you can just enjoy and get a good laugh from without being vulgar and feel like you done been to the trash can and back and all of that. So I enjoyed it, and I hope you enjoyed it too. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Pastor Bonnet.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Mr. Nakan? God bless you.
Doing all right. Just got a question for you.
Uh-oh.
There's this missionary, okay? He is a missionary to Mexico. He came up to the United States. He retired but went back to the mission field. How did he do it?
He didn't show his green card. I don't know.
Nope. Remember, he is a missionary from the United States going to Mexico. So he went down. He was in the mission field. He came up to the United States. He retired and went back to Mexico. How did he do it?
He bought new tires?
Yep, he got new tires on his car. He retired.
All right. I got one for you. I got one for you. Pete and Repeat were in a boat. Pete fell out. Who was left?
Oh, we're not doing that one, Six. I know that answer. You can get Pastor Bonnet to answer that.
That's a good one. Repeat?
Who?
Repeat?
Who?
Repeat?
All right. I'm here all week.
Amen. 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 Truly, it's a blessing to just to get together and just have good, clean fun. Recently, my brother and myself, we've just been enjoying ourselves golfing this year. And I tell you, golfing.
What's your handicap?
Golfing. But anyway.
Amen.
Now, actually, I'm a bogey golfer. I'm pretty decent at the game. Today I probably was on the first nine I was a double bogey golfer. Straightened up a little bit second nine. But, you know, when the weather starts changing, your game changes a little bit too. So golf is all, even if you're golfing at the same club or same course, the weather can dictate to you how you play that day. Your body can also dictate to you, how well you can play that day. Although golf is a true contact sport, you know. You don't get hit, but when you hit the ball, you can hit the ball in such a way that if you don't do it right, it can vibrate up your hand, on your wrist, and, you know, you can overswing and pull your back. I mean, it can be a challenging sport in just the mechanics by itself. So, but it's also a game of life, because one thing about it is, you know, in life we try to blame a lot of people for our circumstances. But in golf, you know, you really can't blame the crowd or the persons that you're playing, because they can't hit your ball. Only you can hit your ball. And so you have nobody to blame but yourself. And so really, golf is a game where the mental is you thinking that people that you're playing against them. But the truth of it is you're actually playing against the course, because the course sets what is par for it, what it takes to beat it, not the people. So you may do better than a person, but you really didn't beat them, because both of y'all got beat by the course. So learning how to let go of the last shot so you can make the next shot better.
Okay. So question, have you ever went to the Robert Trent Golf courses?
I'm not sure. I've been to the PGA course here, off the Player Club. I've been to one of the courses out in Florida,
Never heard of that course.
Now there is a course out in St. Augustine, but Augusta, out in Florida, it's actually part of Jacksonville. When you go out to the beach, but you just go to the far end of the beach. I've been blessed to go to a lot of courses. Mainly, I play the public course. I ain't made a whole lot of money, as of yet. But
Now, does your caddy go with you all the time?
I be my own caddy. Like I said,
really?
I've not made with money, so we put the if I used to walk the course with my and my caddy with my three wheel carrier that I pulled with me, and it's called a caddy, a carrier, and but we also have just riding the course. You put your clubs on the back, trap it down, and enjoy the game. And so,
and Pastor Bonnet, he was asking you about playing with a handicap. I know someone that would play against you that has a true handicap.
Who would that be?
Tom Sullivan.
I know that name.
He's an actor who's totally blind, but he also plays golf.
Well, you know, if you understand the mechanics of this game, somebody points you in the right direction, you can pretty much play this game. Now, it'd be hard for you to putt without having a beacon at the cup, but for us hitting down the field, if you ever played it from a sighted position and then had to play it with low vision, you still could probably play the game fairly well. Again, golf is a game, it has its own mechanics, and if you trust the mechanics, you can do well with it.
And the thing is, he plays pro. So that's what's interesting.
Yeah, he must be slightly brown. But there's a lot of the PGA Tour is not the only pro tour out there. So you got another national team, another national group, and so it's probably the most paid, the rewards from winning or placing in well position, because that's how they receive their compensation. Many golfers are sponsored by other groups and other companies, and they sponsor them until they begin. So when they are out there, they are wearing their sponsorship clothing. Who's sponsoring them? They're advertising for them in magazines and what have you. So you got a lot of that. There's only been a few greats out there where back in Tiger Woods' day, Tiger Woods got paid millions of dollars just to show up. He didn't have to win. He was getting more money than who was going to get the first just to show up, because his name draw the audience. It's like that in sports too today, you know. Football like that, the more popular the name is, the greater the ticket sales are, and so they pass that on down to who's bringing in the crowd. That's why when you go out, you know, you go out to a ball game, you know, and tickets are $65, $85 a person, and if you're going to eat at the stadium, you're spending $30 a person, hot dogs $15, sodas, you know, drinks are $15. So you're spending money. So because these programs, they are set up so they get a cut of the concession stands. They got other programs, other things out there selling. They get this percentage. So much big money is in that industry. So, but that's the world we live in. So,
but anyway, we have a little time left. Oh, we got good time left. Plenty time left. I hope and pray that you have your Bibles with you. And if you don't, hopefully you have your smart device with you where you can open up your Bible application and join us as we talk about this subject today, the 23rd division of Psalms. Now, I've said before, and you may notice in my speech now, I didn't say chapter, because the book of Psalms are not set up in chapters where the previous song is a continuation of, I mean, the song that you're reading now may be a continuation of the one before. But these are individual psalms or individual proverbs or individual statements or that David made. David is the credit for almost all of our songs that we have. There's a few of them towards the end that are credited to someone else, but they think that someone else had involvement in writing with him. But these songs that we receive from him are really designed just to, when we go back and read this, we see why David really was a man after God's heart. Because he was always recognizing God, honoring God, praising God. We know that David himself, and we're talking about King David, but before King David was King David, he was Shepherd David. He was a little shepherd boy. He had seven other brothers, and he was the youngest. And he was given the assignment to take care of his daddy's sheep. Some of his brothers was old enough to be in the king's army. The king at the time was King Saul.
And so David had a lot of free time because taking care of sheep, it's not a whole lot of work. It is work, but once you have them where you need to and they're grazing and they're in the pasture that they need to be, you know, you're on guard duty. You're making sure nobody comes and steal them. You're making sure no other predators or wildlife comes and try to take them. So he had a lot of time to reflect, had a lot of time to cater his skill. He was, he played the harp. So he knew how to play string instrument. And so having all this time, he had a lot of time to look at nature and reflect on God's goodness and dealing with his own life. And so a lot of the songs we see just the life of David as it evolved, as it had different seasons in his life. And so these divisions, this one particular one, and we call this the Lord is my shepherd. So the 23rd song. Many of us know it from the King James. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. But thou art with me, thou rod, thy staff, they comfort me, thou prepare the table for me in the presence of my enemy, thou anoint my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And because I've been quoting that since I was very young. Usually I can just quote it without just even thinking about the text. But one day I was slowed down enough to, as I was in my study and reflecting on it, doing what Philippians told us, you know, what's the things of true, good report, and all of these things. I was reflecting on how God is our shepherd and the importance of this division of song. So join me today. I'm going to break this down. Now, in breaking this down, I'm going to show you other passages that fortify each statement, okay? What I love about the Bible is the Bible itself has a way of defending itself. And verifying itself. So I want to verify the statements that that David made, and I'm going to give you the verses that coincide with each statement. So Psalm 23, verse 1, thought, the Lord is my shepherd. It started off speaking something very personal. And so this is personal. You must own this yourself. So the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not saying he ain't yours or he's not yours. But what I am saying, he's mine. So this is my declaration, my statement of the Lord is my shepherd. I read over in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. When it says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Now, Isaiah was prophesying about the coming of Christ. And this was his prophecy. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Now, Isaiah spoke that, prophesying of Jesus. And so when we look at this text, the Lord is my shepherd. We today use this to fortify or to declare who Christ is for us. So he is my shepherd. And then it says, I shall not want, which means I shall not be in want. In other words, he's going to meet my needs. So over in Philippians chapter 4, we're back in Philippians again, Verse 11 says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. So I learned how to be content with what God had for me. So I shall not want. In other words, I know he's going to meet my needs. So I don't have to be in want or desperation. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. In other words, what I need, he's going to lead me, guide me to receive that. And so Philippians 4 and 11 give us that assurance. Amen. So the second verse of the 23rd Psalm says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And so what do that mean? Well, Ezekiel 34, verse 14, he said, I will feed them in a good pasture and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountain of Israel. Now Ezekiel was talking about how God was going to bless his children of Israel and how he was going to give them an abundance. And so that's what it means, because a good shepherd don't lead his sheep into a desecrated ground, because sheep don't eat upon desecrated ground. But the greener the pasture is, the more fertile that pasture is, the healthier those sheep grow, the more they can grow. And the closer they are to the shepherd, they begin to have more than grass in their stomach. Some have fruit because they're close enough to the shepherd while he's eating. He passes on the substance that he's taken, and he shares that with the ones that stays close to him. So when you're close to God, God passes on his glory to you. That's why sometimes the favor of God that's over your life is because of your relationship with God. And so you're close to him and you're there. And some people be at awe about how much God is using you, blessing you. They wonder where the wisdom is coming from. They're wondering how you understand so much. But that's simply because you have allowed God to lay you down where you need to lay it. In other words, you didn't rebel and stray off, but you followed the path that God led for you. So it says, he leads me beside the still water. What's frightening sheep is running water. They won't really drink from the water that's running very fast. In a spring, depending on the environment, there can be other wildlife that can be dangerous to them. They can slip in. And so they're only going to drink from waters that's still enough so that they know they are not in trouble, so they know that they have safety there for them. And so Revelation chapter 7, verse 17 says, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of water. Wow. And God shall wipe away all of their tears from their eyes. Let's talk about that. That's it at the second coming. What's God going to do? So he's going to carry us to a place of still waters. So it gives me some assurance of the promises of God, and what God's going to do for me. Amen. And verse 3 in the 23rd Psalm says, he restores my soul. Sometimes you just feel drained down to your soul, your inner man. And you need to be revived. You need to be re-energized. So he restores my soul. Many of us don't even realize that we're born in sin, shaped in iniquities. And so Christ came to restore our soul. Now, give it back, in other words. Amen. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And so we see in another passage of Psalm, verse the fifth division, verse 8, he said, lead me, O Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital B, in thy righteousness because of my enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And we see that in Proverbs 18 and 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. So he leadeth me. In other words, he's taking me down a path, and he's watching me, ensuring that I'm safe in the way that I'm going. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. Now, that's when we're dealing with everyday life and the uncertainties of life, and we're dealing with things that we fully don't really grasp at the moment, at the time. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, it seemed like I'm not going to make it. Some of us can, if we told the whole truth, we can remember those days where we were wondering, where was the next money coming to help us pay what we needed to pay, and especially those that are parents. And sometimes one of the biggest fears amongst parents is having the ability to really take care of their children. You know, sometimes that what if would get on you. What if I get fired? How am I going to feed my babies? How am I going to take care of my kids? How am I going to buy their clothes? How am I going to keep the roof over their head? And so things sometimes, the shadow of death, the shadow of failure, sometimes become overwhelming. But here we say, yea, though, even though, okay, even though I may walk through the valley of shadow of death. And Job, over in Job chapter 3, verse 5, it said, let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. Talking about that shadow of death. So all type of stuff coming against you. But here's the confession that he made out of it. I will fear no evil. So it don't matter whether you talking about me, they talking about me, y'all don't blackball me, y'all don't like me, y'all don't move me, this, whatever the case is, that's okay. I will fear no evil. So if you're doing something against me that's evil, to contend with my God. So I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to fight you. I don't have to come at you. I'm not going to fear you. Why? Well, again in Psalm, the third division, verse 6, he said, I will not be afraid of the 10,000 of the people that have set themselves against me around about. David was a mad of people. But just because people like you don't mean your haters ain't equally there looking and searching for your demise.
And so many people, when David was appointed king, was thinking that he stole the kingdom from Saul, because they ain't in the same, although they're both Israelite, they're not of the same tribe. And so he had many haters. And so when Saul tried to kill him, he had snitches saying this about him and that about him. We're going to leave that alone right there. So he says, "For thou art with me." So when you know, you don't have to fear evil intentions against you when you know that God is with you. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2 says, "When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee, and through the river, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Over in Matthew 28 and 20, it teaches them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded. God has a way of keeping us. And he says, "And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." And so when you know that God is with you, no matter what end that you go to, you're not alone. Now, here's a part of it that many of us don't like to acknowledge, but it's very important. He said, "Thou rod and thy staff, they comfort me." What is a rod and what is a staff? Well, a rod is a thin, straight bar. A staff is a long wooden stick, purpose for walking or a weapon. Now, a shepherd's staff usually had a hook on one end and a stick to point or to defend on the other end, so that if need be, that staff, that shepherd's staff, can be used to defend off other creatures. It's long enough to keep, to poke that other wild animal to defend yourself with, to use to beat down or to push away. And then that hook is used for the sheep to pull them back when they don't know how to follow the pack, to get them back on track. Every now and then God has to use the staff on us and pull us back to keep us in right standing. So it is set there for a purpose. So his rod and his staff, they comfort me. That means he's going to defend me and he's going to chastise me. But all of that he does from a position of his concern for my well-being. Psalms 23, verse 5 says, talking about God, "A table before me in the presence of my enemy." Now, you sometimes you really don't want your enemies being nowhere around you. But go and thank God for your haters. Just tell God, "I thank you for my haters." Why? Because in their face, you're going to prepare a table. Because, see, they don't want me to eat. They don't want me to live. But you're going to give me all this that I need to live and to fulfill your call for my life. You're going to do this in their face. You ain't going to do it behind their back. You're going to do it in their face. And when they say you're crazy for being part of that church, you're crazy. Man, ain't nobody trying to do church no more. Ain't nobody trying to get mad no more. And when they stop doing all that talking, all your blessings for obeying God
going to happen in their face. Psalms 104, verse 14. He causes me to he causes the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, verse 15, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengthen the man's heart. So God is doing all this in the midst of people. He's going to feed you. He's going to maintain your living. Because when God's talking about feeding you, he ain't just talking about natural food. He's talking about the spiritual food that you need, the wisdom that governs your action and help you make right and wrong decisions. He said, thou anointest my head with oil. One of the things that shepherds had to do, depending on the season and areas in which the land that they was in, they had to oil down the sheep because there are certain beetles and certain insects that can get into the wool of the sheep and cause the sheep to lose their furring, and to cause them sickness and even death. But when they are anointed with that special oil, those bugs can't stick to them. It don't stick in their wool. It don't stick to their skin. It's able just to flow off of them. And so when God anoints us when the preacher anoints you, that's a covering over your life to keep the attacks of the enemy from sticking to you and causing you sickness and even death. So that anointing oil has multi-purpose in our lives. 92:10 says, but my horn shalt thou exalt like a horn of a unicorn. I know y'all thought the unicorn was a mystical creature, but we see it here in Scripture. That's why I love the Bible. Very old text. The unicorn. That's what it said. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. So, that's a fresh anointing. My cup runneth over. We're back on the verse. He said, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Jesus had to drink a cup, and that was a serious cup that he had to drink. If we go to our Bibles, we can see that in Matthew 26. Let me pull that back up real quick. Matthew chapter 26 and 39. Now, Jesus had been praying, three disciples, I think favorite three, but the same three that went with him mostly everywhere. He took them and he asked them to watch while he prayed. And while he was praying, this was his prayer, verse 39. He went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying. Now, if Jesus Christ prayed to the Father, that's clue enough that you and I need to be praying to the Father. But this is his prayer. Listen to his prayer. He said, my Father of suffering, be taken away from me. King James said, let it pass me by. Okay, so he said, if it be possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. What I love about some of the older saints and the older church of a hymn said, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free?" The answer was no, for there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. And so you and I, we have a cross to bear. But that's the cup. The cup is what you drink, what you consume. And so he had to go through something. The Bible says, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. But just because you're saved and love God, don't mean you're supposed to have only sunshine days with the rainbow over the sky, everything all nice and happy and lucky charms at the end of the rainbow. No. You're going to have some bad days. You're going to have some stormy days. Because it's these days that let you see the hand of God and let you appreciate the goodness that God does for you in your life. Matter of fact, many of us, if it wasn't for trouble, we probably wouldn't pray like we need to pray. So Jesus said, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering pass. Let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet," King James said, "nevertheless, yet I want your will to be done, not mine." King James said, "nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done, your will." And that's what we have to pray. That's why it's so important for us to understand that some things we must go through as believers, some things we must go through so that we can understand how other people feel about the way they feel about what they're feeling about. You know, if I never, ever had anything evicted, confiscated, lost, or stolen, I wouldn't understand your struggle that you've had to go through all of this. You done had to use title loan. And I wouldn't understand your situation if I didn't have no money issues. So my compassion for those that are going through those things is because I've had to deal similarly, had some of those circumstances happen in my life. So it made me more compassionate or made me more concerned or considerate about how you're feeling about what you're going through. And a lot of times it's hard to minister to people and to help people when they only see you as someone that's judging them and coming down on them, not trying to understand them or how they got the way they are. They already done condemned themselves. They already have judged themselves. And the last thing they really need from us is us doing the same. So when you drink your cup, our example is what Christ said. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. And that's a hard thing to say because sometimes we don't care what God will is. We just want what we want. We like spoiled little two-year-old kids having temper tantrums. So we can't have no cookie right now. Ain't that something? But he said, "My cup runneth over." So everything that God has in life for me, it's just, he got it full for me. It's a full cup. It's running over. So I got so much in this cup. Verse 6 of the 23rd Psalm. It says, "Surely," it's a decree, "surely goodness and mercy." Surely, of a certainty, goodness, mercy. Goodness and mercy. These are some anointed angels right here. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. That means I don't have to go searching for it. It's following me. I need to slow down and let it catch up if I feel like it's not happening for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. How long? All the days of my life. How long? All the days of what? My life. That's the here and now. Not the hereafter, but the here and now where it matters, where it's needed. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, forever. That's a statement of faith. God's house is called a house of prayer. You can dwell in the house of God because you have turned part of your house into a sanctuary, a place where you go and pray daily, a place where the Spirit of the Lord can come and meet you and commune with you. That's how you know he's following you. That's how you know you're dwelling in his house, when you have dedicated your home to be his home. So here's a good question. Can Jesus come home with you? And if he follows you home, can he make himself at home? Would Jesus feel comfortable in your house? Could Jesus walk around your house? Could he walk around in each bedroom? Could he go into each closet? Would Jesus be allowed to look under your bed where you are hiding those certain magazines you don't want nobody to see? Could Jesus use your computer without you hiding would you hand Jesus your cell phone unlocked, your tablet unlocked? See, when he becomes your shepherd, you understand he's your keeper. And if he's keeping you, then everything that you have, he should have access to. Because if he don't have access to everything that you have, that means you have put something above him. See? I know we don't like to think of that, but we must think of that, because when we begin to put things above God, we provoke him to jealousy. I don't care how you feel about it. His words say, I am a jealous God. I shall have no other God before me. And that's what he said. We ain't got to like it. We don't even have to understand it. That's what he said. And if he said it, okay. Now we need to deal with it. If he's going to be my God, then we have to make him first. And he has to have access to everything we have. Do God have the permission to invade your thoughts? Do God have the permission to invade your heart? Does he? Really? Food for thought. Hey, those are your nuggets for the evening. If Jesus come home with me, my nugget is he must have access to everything that I have access to, so that he's truly Lord. Okay? Hey, I love you with the love of Christ. I think my mics are still on. I'm switching back over to the board here. Man, I hope y'all enjoyed this on this evening. I hope I said something encouraging. I hope you are blessed by it. Amen. I see a new caller from area code 215. I didn't see it earlier. God bless you. Thank you for calling in on this evening. I hope you enjoyed some of the information that we shared with you on this evening. Hope you enjoyed our laughter time with Karen Megan there earlier today. And hopefully you enjoyed, excuse me, hopefully you enjoyed the message, the breakdown of the 23rd division of Psalm. I want you to go back and look at it at your leisure and meditate on it and see how that really fits in your framework of understanding, and ask yourself, is God truly my shepherd? Amen. And if he is, then follow the path. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Make that decree. God bless you. I love you with the love of Christ. Hey, at this time, I think I have both Missionary Ken and Brother Six on the line. I'm going to ask them to, one of them, to come forward and share any contact information that we may have for those of you that would like to donate towards this station to help us keep programs coming your way. Once again, I love you. I'll be back after they have spoken. Missionary Ken or Brother Six.
Yes, yes.
All right. There you go, Brother Six. We have some wonderful listeners today. Maybe, just maybe, some of them would like to sow a financial seed into this wonderful programming. Please share with us on how that we can do that, as well as have programming like this on demand.
I will be greatly, greatly honored to do that. So to help keep us bringing you great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, you have two options. Many know about the PayPal, and the email address you'll enter is S as in Sam, I as in Ice, X as in X-Ray, E as in Edward, Y as in Yogurt, E as in Edward, S as in Sam, the numeric number 6@gmail.com. And whatever God puts in your heart to help bring you great program will be greatly appreciated, no matter too big or too small. Now, for the Cash App users, that would be $, S as in Sam, I as in Ice, X as in X-Ray, E as in Edward, Y as in Yogurt, E as in Edward, S as in Sam, the numerical 4, and the numerical 2, numerical 4. And whatever God puts in your heart to help bring you great program will be greatly appreciated. Now, to listen to this show on a Tuesday, you would download iHeartRadio for you Android users, and in the search type in Six Eyes Radio, press subscribe, and same thing for Apple. In the search type in Six Eyes Radio, and you'll have Motivation on Monday, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, on a Thursday. Thank you. Now back to Motivation on Monday with Pastor Bonnet.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you, Brother Six. I definitely appreciate that.
You're
welcome. We also want to, before we close out tonight, if Missionary Ken is still there, we'd like for him to give his contact information for the blind ministry for those that may want to help support. They're in their fundraiser, and they're needing a few $100 to help keep things flowing for them. And we'd like to give him opportunity to come and give his contact information for the blind ministry.
All right. And there are several ways you can help us with that. First off, if you're a PayPal user, you enter the email address, digit 2, F as Frank, O as Oscar, R as Randy, digit 1. Then you spell the name Katie, K as Kite, A as Apple, T as Tom, I as an Indian, E as Elephant, @gmail.com, 2for1Katie, @gmail.com. And you enter the amount of your love gift, and any amount, great or small, is greatly appreciated, and God will richly bless you. If you wish to use your credit card, go to our website, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org. Then on that homepage, go right to the bottom where it says Love Offerings. Click that, and you'll be able to use your credit card. If you wish to send a check or money order, send that check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you, and we at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much.
Amen, amen. Truly has been a pleasure to be on your listening device today. We pray that something that was said have encouraged you to keep on doing what God has called you to do. And so, therefore, we say to you, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Hey, as we close out, perhaps you may say, Pastor Bonnet, you made a appeal for everyone, but maybe we want to sow to your ministry. Well, that's simple. You can do it through a Cash App, and that's simply $ Pastor Bonnet. That's right, $ Pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, Bonnet, B-O-N-N-E-T-T. It'll come up with my full name and ministry, Kenneth Bonnet, True Word of Faith. And again, whatever God touch your heart to give on either of these platforms, you are sowing, and God will bless you because you're sowing on good ground. Until next time, join us back here on the Six Eyes program for the Word with the King on tomorrow evening. So God bless you. God keep you. Now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with each of us here, now, and forevermore, and until the appointed time when we can gather together again in the name of the Lord. May the peace of God keep us in all that we do. Once again, I love you with the love of Christ. The best thing you can do is love me in return. We'll see you next time. Have a wonderful and great evening.